Welcome to Story Smack.
This is Story Smack, a podcast about stories and storytellers in the world of pop culture. My name is A. Kovacs, audiobook narrator and founding partner at Empty Set Entertainment.
And my name is Scott Sigler. And when 900 years old you reach, look as good you will not.
You are not 900 years old.
I know, but I've been working a lot lately and sometimes I kind of look like it.
This is episode 34 of Story Smack, and we're going to talk a little Star Wars action this week. FDO, it's been almost 2 months since we did an episode. You've been pretty busy, haven't you?
Busier than a Jawa at a droid swap meet.
Tell the people what you've been doing that you've been so busy.
In the 2 months since we did an episode, I've written almost 100,000 words in Mount Fitzroy, which is the sequel to our best-selling novel, Earthcore, which, by the way, is finally on print on April 3rd, 2018. You can order the ebook or audiobook of Earthcore right now or pre-order the print edition. And all of those links are available at scottsigler.com/earthcore.
And as the publisher, I should mention we do not have a print date for the long-awaited Mount Fitzroy.
Not yet.
We think it might be at least on sale, pre-order by the end of 2018. Mm. Here's hoping that that's true. A lot of fans have been waiting a really long time for this book.
They have. I promised this book like 12 years ago. I said, that'll be out in a couple of months. And it was obviously not a couple of months. But let's get back to the meat of this episode. We're talking Star Wars. No, sorry to disappoint you. We're not going to debate the qualities of The Last Jedi or talk about any of that prequel schlock, which is always fun. We're talking about one of the big three. We are talking about The Return of the Jedi.
There was this great article recently at uprocks.com written by Mike Ryan that has blown up on the internet.
It's all over, yeah.
The title of the article is We Dare You to Explain Luke's Plan to Rescue Han in Return of the Jedi.
Now, usually you see something like this. We Dare You headlines, they're very clickbaity, and maybe this one is too because it got me to click, but for once this isn't something punching up, down, left, right, or in any other direction. It's just a fun article that takes a look at a conundrum that I would like to point out, before I read the article, I did not know this conundrum existed.
Exactly.
And now it's all I can think about.
So let's go over Ryan's article.
All right, we're going to go over this. We're going to read a bunch of this verbatim, because Ryan's writing is quite fun. He certainly has a good time with it. he was at a bar hanging out with his friends, and this bar plays Return of the Jedi frequently. So obviously pretty fucking cool bar, right?
Yeah, Mike says it is his favorite movie.
It is his favorite movie. He says it's a movie where a lot of character decisions make almost no sense, which is sort of part and parcel for the Star Wars franchise. There's a lot of stuff going on. You're like, why would they do that? Why wouldn't they do this thing over here?
Space battles are, you don't have a lot of space battle experience, I would say.
Why would they keep that part secret? It doesn't make any sense.
You don't understand the ways of the intergalactic politics.
I've never been in a space battle, but I played many on video games. So I seem to know what's going on. So here is the question that he proposed, that he says there's no proper answer to, at least with his crew. If Luke's plan to rescue Han from Jabba had worked perfectly, what would that plan have been?
Well, then this is great, because you sent this to me. You're like, oh my goodness, you have to read this movie to talk about this. And I read to that point, and I, to be honest, haven't seen it all over the internet because I've been busy too. So you sent it to me. I was like, okay, I didn't click and read it. I got there and I was like, well, obviously, Oh, yeah. I mean, because I was all puffed out and high and mighty about it.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, obviously, the R2D. Okay. Oh, I see.
I was the same thing. I'm like, whatever, millennial. Let me read this and I'll answer all of your questions for you.
Turns out,
I could neither answer the questions, nor is he probably a millennial. don't know. I know nothing about the gentleman other than he's a funny writer. So, first point he brings up. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for Return of the Jedi.
If you have not seen Return of the Jedi, no one can help you. I'm very sorry. Point one, C-3PO and R2-D2. I'll read what he has here. They are the first characters we see show up at Jabba's palace. R2-D2 plays recording Luke Skywalker, who states that he'd like to bargain for Han and, as a gesture of goodwill, gives Jabba C-3PO and R2-D2 as gifts. So now right off the bat, C-3PO and R2-D2 are captured. And yes, Luke knowing that Jabba would turn down Luke's offer for a bargain was probably part of his plan, But I do wonder what would have happened if Jabba had said, oh, this is a good deal. Yes, I accept these droids and you may have Han Solo.
Which I totally love picturing that in my head. Like, well, I accept these droids.
And that little guy in his lap, hopefully translating or laughing, whatever the hell his name was, Snivel Snape, I can't remember. What would Luke have done then? I think, good faith, Luke would have just had to leave C-3PO and R2-D2 behind. And we would have gotten a scene with a forlorn Luke telling Leia, yeah, I guess I really misjudged Jabba. He seems nice.
Okay, so to his point, if there is a master plan and the first part of that plan that we see are the droids being surrendered to the enemy, I'm with the fine Mr. Ryan here. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to start this way.
Plus, there's the complexity of, we'll get to the fact that Luke's lightsaber is in R2 already.
Yeah.
Right? So Luke knows they're not going to take the droids, but if he does take the droids, now he's lost his freaking lightsaber.
Well, right. Well, this is further to this question that Mike Ryan posits, like, okay, this was the plan all along. So you give up the one weapon that you've had the most success with. Mm-hmm. Potentially forever, mm-hmm. by hiding it in the belly of your droid,
right,
that you willingly donate to your enemy.
Now, we can assume that Jabba's got some kind of door security that's going to at least frisk Luke, right? Which, although that doesn't happen, we can assume Luke assumes that. Luke gets the guy with the big tentacle head that wraps around his neck. We won't say what it actually looks like. But this guy gets mind controlled right off the bat. So nobody frisks Luke. So Luke could have walked in with his lightsaber, maybe, but he still stashes it in R2-D2. And the point of this article is, what's the point of that stashing?
Right. And you cover it. Like, Mike Ryan talks about, like, sure, he might have thought he'd get frisked, but he didn't get frisked. But more than that, there is really no plan in there for them, like, that we ever see for them to reconnect either. And so why give your only weapon, or at least the weapon you're most talented with,
the weapon of your ancestors,
potentially away forever if you have no, hey, once we're all on the inside, let's get back together and you give me my weapon.
Also, I know this is getting severely picayune. However, pretty sure crime boss Jabba the Hutt would have some kind of scanner to see if there's any weapons hidden inside of a freaking droid or a bomb or anything like that.
Well, and there's the bigger thing also, which is, the droids that Luke Skywalker gave him just happened to, one, stay together, two, stay right in the court with him. Oh. Like, why didn't they end up like in the kitchen chopping onions?
I don't know. Well, a translation droid, protocol droids do not chop onions, ma'am.
Except R2-D2 could chop an onion with the best of them.
Maybe.
He's got like a million little things in that little roto-rooter sonic screwdriver.
You know what that sonic screwdriver could have been good for? Slap and chop. He's a slap chop guy. He could be cutting up all the stuff.
Yes.
So then here's a paragraph from Mr. Ryan, and then A and I are going to do Story Smack Theater for you for only the second time. Lando. So Lando is already working as a skiff guard when Return of the Jedi opens. He's always wondered about this. Mike says he's always wondered about the interview process. I can only assume Lando had to interview someone higher up, like Bib Fortuna. You be Bib.
So, you want to be our new skiff guard?
I do.
You look familiar.
Nope. I'm just a resident of Tatooine looking for a job.
Do you like the musical stylings of the Max Rebo Band?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're hired. Head downstairs, past the dungeon and the Rancor Pit, and we can get you set up with a uniform and a helmet mask.
Yes, of course, you gotta have the mask. Anyway, even though Lando is there, he doesn't really do much later until the plan is revealed, except to let us know is there. We see Billy Dee Williams' dreamy eyes looking out over the over the top of that mask.
It's true.
And you're like, man, I'd like a Colt 45 right now.
That's
I want a Colt 45 and I want to smile pretty at the ladies.
There is a vast number of people in your audience currently Googling.
Colt 45? What is he talking
Lando
about?
Lando and Colt.
Okay, so now we get to, now the shit really starts to hit the wall.
The plan is coming together.
This is ludicrous level. We're only halfway through. It gets worse. Leia, disguised as a bounty hunter named Boosh, Leia strolls in and hands over Chewbacca. So already three of our heroes have been captured as part of this. Let's all just surrender plan. Later that night, Leia unfreezes hand, but as they start to make their getaway, Jabba and all his friends are literally hiding behind a curtain and capture Leia and Han.
Okay, I have to jump in here and read this part because I laughed so hard at this part. So Mike Ryan goes on to say, I'd watch a whole Star Wars story shoot-off movie about Jabba planning his curtain surprise, and I'd love to see him explain it. And then we'll all just be super quiet and just wait there behind the curtain all night. It's going to be great. Okay, yes, it might take a few hours, but the payoff will be worth it. We will all laugh. I also picture Squidhead back there. Oh, I think I see someone moving. I think this is it. And the rest of the gang all shushing him. Shh, Squidhead, you're going to ruin it. Okay. So now, including Han, we have five heroes captured.
This is the plan so far. Let's leave. We're going to forgive Han. Number one, because he's Han. Number two.
Frozen in carbonite.
He's frozen in carbonite. There's nothing a brother can do, right? If his friends are going to be idiots, that's not on him.
And you can tell by the look on his face that it isn't pleasant to be
frozen. It wasn't pleasant to get frozen in carbonite. So Leia has walked in and handed over Chewie. A restrained Chewie, or is he? Now we have these two people wind up getting captured. We've got the two droids, and we've got Han.
Leia's not captured. She's just hanging out.
Well, she got that chain on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fair.
Jabba got her all iced up.
I don't think she's iced up at all.
Okay. Yes, she's got a chain. She's got beautiful chains upon her neck.
But
it's great.
Ice is diamonds.
I'm sure there's diamonds in there somewhere. Oh, okay. She's gold. She's fine. Now, I'll pick up from Mr. Ryan's writing. For Luke. And now what starts to feel like a repetitive SNL sketch. Luke Skywalker is the fifth hero to stand before Jabba and start demanding the release of Solo and Chewbacca. What's Jabba thinking at this point? I can only guess. This has been a weird day. So at this point, Luke tries to use a Jedi mind trick on Jabba, to which Jabba responds, "Your mind powers will not work on me, boy." Was this the plan? Did everything get thrown off right there? When that didn't work, was Luke thinking, "Oh crap, well now we're really screwed." Luke then tells Jabba he can either profit or be destroyed. Jabba, kind of understandably, reacts unfavorably to this demand and sends Luke down to the Rancor pit. Anyway, the end result is Luke gets captured. Now everyone but Lando is captured.
And Lando is willingly working for the enemy.
Well, he's a plant, right? We don't know if he came on his own. We don't know if he came as part of Leia's plan. We don't know if he came as part of Luke's plan.
And I think we're sort of jumping ahead of the article here, because that is the point that Mike Ryan is making. Okay. Is maybe the only way it makes sense is if they didn't know each other would be there.
So Luke kills the Rancor, and then, you know, like it happens in all movies, Jabba, instead of just killing the dude, shoot him. He's right there.
Put a bullet
in his head. He's right there. Just shoot him. He decides he's going to take him for a little sightseeing, take him out to the Sarlacc pit.
No, Mr. Skywalker. I expect you to die.
And we pick up Mike's article. Everything culminates when Luke, Han, and Chewbacca are going to be thrown in the Sarlacc. Luke signals for R2-D2 to shoot him over his lightsaber, and after a dazzling backflip, Luke starts killing hardworking blue-collar skiff guards. There is no way this was, quote, the plan, end quote. Yes, Luke planned for his lightsaber to be with R2-D2, but there is no way this was Luke playing three-dimensional chess. And then, after I beat the Rancor, instead of killing all right there on the spot, Jabba will send us to the Sarlacc, and that's where we will make our move. So let's try to not pretend that was his plan, which, believe it or not, people who didn't read the whole article actually commented in the comments
that since
Luke grew up on Tatooine, he probably knew the reputation of the local crime lord, and he probably knew the local crime lord would take him to the Sarlacc pit. So now there's it's not as bad as Prometheus apologists, but it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. So Mike says there's too many variables, or Brian says there's too many variables, and that would have to assume that Leia knew her and Han would be captured after she unfroze him, which also makes no sense. Speaking of that, what happens if those two had just walked out? Do we go back to Luke? Well, this is good news that you two escape, but before all this, Jabba had one of us, and now he has three. Maybe we should have thought this plan through a bit more. Chewbacca would have been screwed.
Right.
So back to the night at the bar. Mike Ryan and his friends came up with one explanation. It's the only thing that even starts to make sense, although it still doesn't make total sense, that Luke, Lando, and Leia never once spoke to each other about rescuing Han. It's just coincidence they were all there at the same time. Or if they did speak before, they all just said things like, well, you know, he was deserting us anyway. I think we should just forget about him, as they secretly forged their own separate missions.
Which, of course, makes no sense at all that Luke and Leia would not have talked to each other. No. That doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
I mean, not that the plan, the Sarlacc pit plan, makes sense.
And if this is the case, that they all hatched this plan separately, you've got Lando hanging out on his own, just peeping over the top of that mask.
Any day now, I'm going to do something.
Thinking, I sure would like a tasty malt liquor.
still with that. You're just going to beat that dead horse.
It was the best commercial ever. It was a very good commercial.
Yes.
Yes. So he's doing a skip job, casing the place out, playing all the angles, deciding what's the best time to make his move. And when the droids show up, throws off his whole plan. And when we first see Lando, he kind of has that look on his face like, well, this is going to mess up everything.
Well, then you have to wonder, though, like, what made everybody then, presuming they didn't talk to each other beforehand, what made Lando say, well, clearly Luke's plan is better than mine. We'll just do whatever Luke wants. Instead of like, dude, I got this all planned out.
I know. That's the one thing. You watch Lando and you're like, he had it fine. He infiltrated the criminal organization.
Right.
He's probably working his way up the ladder.
Nobody's the worse for wear.
Being careful not to let anybody see that little pencil mustache, you know, because it's a dead giveaway. A lot of people knew who this brother was, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, he ran Bespin. He knows what's up. People know this man. But he's sneaking his way through the organization, and he's just waiting for the right opportunity. Good thing. And you know what? And he probably knew that those bitches never go to sleep. They drink all night, they hide behind a curtain, and they just wait for someone to try and rescue Han. He knew that.
I mean, if he knew that, though, he could have actually, they would have been standing behind that curtain for hours. He could have just captured them.
There's a lot of orcs in that room.
I mean, my point is,
a lot of orcs with axe guns,
but they weren't standing outside the curtain guarding Jabba the Hutt.
I don't think he could blow his cover. He's sitting there. Lando's probably like, man, these motherfuckers are going to get captured too. Now I'm going to have to rescue everybody. I'm going to have to rescue C-3PO, R2-D2, Chewbacca, Leia, and Han, who's my old buddy Han.
So I love Han, who is my old buddy Han.
Yes. Han, old buddy.
I loved this article, especially because of the preciousness with which some people regard the... what we'll call the original trio of movies.
Yeah, we talked about this. I wasn't crazy about The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. And we may have talked about this on the cast, I'm not sure. But then I started asking myself, okay, there's so many ridiculous plot holes, giant gaping plot holes, preposterous character decisions, and then the whole lost factor of, if we just tell everybody the information, everything's fine, so we just won't say anything, and there's no reason not to say anything.
Right.
And then we started asking, I wonder if the three we watched when we were kids are that bad, but they just got ingrained into us, so we never question them now.
Right, and like I said, I know functional adults who don't mind the 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. the New Hope era, because that's the first one they saw, and when they watch our original three, they're like, okay, I see what you're saying. Like, you know, this story is a lot more action packed, but oh my God, those awful special effects. So, you know, who you are as a person when you watch the movie makes a huge difference.
See, I thought that was because younger people were very stupid, but you're telling me that's not the case.
See, I'm saying no, that's not the case.
I've never asked my nephews which ones they like the best, because I just don't want to know.
If they
really like Jar Jar. I don't want to know.
I don't think anybody really liked, because my nephew's not crazy for Jar Jar, but I'll tell you this. You don't want to ask your nephews or your nieces, because here's what one possible answer might be. Oh, I guess they're okay. And that would be worst of all, to not have a favorite Star Wars movie at all.
I sort of watched them, but I was busy texting at the time. You know?
I think that might be more painful.
Then I had to do a snap, so I didn't finish the movie. That'd be tough.
Yeah.
So last couple of paragraphs in his story, and he goes on with his chewed up, or his only possible explanation. Leia and Chewbacca conspire on their own to infiltrate Jabba's palace with the whole, I brought you Chewbacca, so now let me hang out here and party plan. Leia is thinking she will unfreeze Han, which she does. Then, I guess, figure out a way to help Chewbacca. And then she had to be wondering what the hell C-3PO was doing there as Jabba's interpreter. A thing that bothered me about the movie when I watched it, they know Han is, like, going to be carbon blind or whatever the hell they call it. They know he's going to have a lot of trouble. He's on a floating, levitating thing. Why not just float him the fuck out of the place? Why wake him up and have the smoochy scene? Well, you know, of course, when everybody's hiding behind the curtain. What's that all about?
I don't. I don't have an answer for you, but yeah. I am going to ask if you just said one of the things about the movie when I first saw it,
yeah.
I thought.
I did. I was like, why is she waking him up?
You thought that and you were like 10 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Because what I was thinking, that if any of my friends got frozen as a slab of carbonite, right? Or is it carbonite, was it?
Carbonite,
yeah. Carbonite, and I had to rescue them. There's absolutely no way I'm not putting some wheels on that sucker and riding it down one of those big-ass sand dunes, right? That would be awesome. Be able to tell your boys, I totally rode you down a sand dune, man. I was doing turns and cuts and everything.
Somehow I feel like maybe the sustainability of the sentient or the live being in the carbonite, the carbonite can't be used as a toboggan. You can't toboggan with it.
It'd be a sand toboggan. Plus, then I'd be able to tell him once I rescue him, wake him up. Yeah, dude, my butt's all over you the whole way down. You are now covered in my butt. Sorry, it's the way it goes.
As happy as I am that we are friends as adults, I am not at all one bit unhappy when we're not friends as children.
I was a lot of work for my friends, I won't lie. And then finally, Luke uses the droids as a decoy as a way to sneak his lightsaber into Jabba's palace, which didn't really seem to be needed because no one really checked him for weapons, which we said earlier. But maybe he couldn't rely on that not happening.
Luke, that I think is legit.
Possibly legit. Luke is, and of course, R2-D2 can, you know, remotely deprogram a scanner or whatever. He's blocked. He's got shielding. Luke is thinking, okay, I'll just cruise in there, do a mind trick, and then we'll get Han and the droids and be back out of their lickety-split. If there's any problems, R2-D2 will shoot me over my lightsaber.
I'll do a dazzling backflip.
Gotta do a dazzling backflip. I mean, what do you think all that training was for? He's not a very good Jedi. I don't know if you've noticed this.
I love that.
He's a terrible Jedi.
I'm not so sure the Jedi are doing all that well. There are a lot of terrible Jedi.
They get killed all the time. They're terrible.
I mean, we even have come to the spot where there's just the one last one.
There's the last one who hasn't been trained by anybody and whoops the shit out of the one who's been trained by the master. It's okay. Anyways. Then Luke gets in front of Jabba's mind trick doesn't work. R2-D2 is nowhere to be seen. For some reason, Leia is there as a prisoner. So that's the best explanation that Mr. Ryan could come up with. If he does say, you can contact Mike directly on Twitter. So if you want to take up umbrage with Mr. Ryan's take on things, is at Mike Ryan, MikeRyan.
So this is interesting. You recently, not too long ago, you posted on your site, problem you had. You were watching Punisher and
yep.
Something happened in Punisher and it pulled you out of the story.
Yes.
And the post that you made was sort of talking about like, so this is a problem because it pulled me out of the story.
Right.
Which is an opinion, and as an opinion is not defensible, right? Mm-hmm. Which didn't stop this great, big, long, interesting conversation going on about people who are like, no, 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 man, it was fine. Here's what probably happened.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to know. And I learned a lot more about guns and stuff, but it kept coming back to like, sure. But for me, we're having this conversation to begin with.
Right.
Because it pulled me out of the story.
Because I'm a person who actually shoots handguns and does training on them for the books. And even with my limited experience, but I have experience of trained like 30 times or something like mm-hmm. that, I was still taken out of the story.
Right.
So the average viewer doesn't have even the small body of knowledge that I have. The average viewer has no body of knowledge, which I guess in some ways makes it better. Like, whatever. But people who know some degree of firearms, a lot of them were taken out of the story.
Yeah.
So,
but this is actually the opposite of that situation.
Where okay.
You were watching a brand new, fresh, live story, you know, watching it unfold in real time on your TV. And you were like, oh, man. That doesn't, like, I see the wizard behind the curtain.
I see what you're saying, yeah. I see the Jabba behind the curtain. Oh, 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 oh.
And then with this, it's 30-some-odd years later, and we're all like, oh, I never even thought about that one time.
I know, now I go back and watch it. Also,
and it's fascinating conversation. It's totally true.
Yeah. Is it true that Jabba the Hutt was voiced by Ed McMahon?
I don't think that's true at all.
That's another Colt 45 caliber joke. Ooh, that's good. I just made that. That
I'll give you the 45.
Right now, there's a lot of people my age who are like, that's funny. And a lot of people younger being like,
and a vast
dude, lay off the crack.
You're like, oh my God, get me my phone again. I have to Google that.
You know what? They're like, okay, I got to text and do a quick snap. I probably won't finish this podcast.
So we hope you have enjoyed this episode, episode 34.
Oh, wait. Snack. Hold on. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
I got to tell people, you can find that story at uproxx.com. Just go there. It's a very popular article for them right now. You'll find it. And just, or Google We dare you to explain Luke's plan. Then people can read it themselves. Go ahead.
Yep. And we'll actually put link to this in the post in case you want to go there.
Which will be at scottsigler.com/podcast/Luke plan.
Okay. We hope you enjoyed episode 34 of Story Smack. You can find Scott and I online. Scott is at Scott Sigler on Twitter and Instagram, and his Facebook page is facebook.com/Scott Sigler. I'm at arealgirl on Twitter and at a.real.girl on Instagram. You can find us online at facebook.com/StorySmack. We'd love to see your comments there. You can find us on iTunes, search for Scott Sigler Audiobooks, and subscribe. You'll get a free unabridged audiobook episode every Sunday. We hope you subscribe to Scott Sigler Audiobooks so you can hear more Story Smack goodness in the future. Until the next episode, we will talk to you all
real soon.